Mr. Right. That's right with a W. It's a play on words, and playing with words is my profession. I'm the prolific novelist Richard Bunn, and on the Mr. Right program, I sit down with another writer to talk writing and writers and writing and the craft of writing. Thanks so much for listening, and please enjoy. Mr. Right! Welcome to the Mr. Right program. That's right with a W. It's a play on words. I'm Richard Bunn, but you know that, of course. All right. So we have a wonderful episode planned this week with a very special guest, a unique kind of writer, one that we don't often have here on the program. And I'm so happy that she's joining us. She is the manners columnist for Time Magazine for Women. Please welcome Miss Carmela Point. Carmela.
Oh, Richard, it's great to see you.
So happy that you've joined us this week. Did I get that right? I got all the details correct?
Oh, you're absolutely 100% correct.
So you write the manners column or an etiquette column? Is that another term?
Both are correct.
Both are correct?
Yes.
Okay. I don't want to be wrong in front of the etiquette expert.
I'll let you know if you're incorrect.
I'm sure you will. I better be on my best behavior. This is wonderful. Now, so you write for Time Magazine for Women. Is that correct now?
Women's Time.
Women's Time.
Yes. It's a magazine for women. Current events skewed towards females.
Yes.
Simply because regular time is hard for us to understand.
It's hard for you to understand.
Yes.
I see.
It's geared towards men, as I'm sure you're familiar.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I have read your column online, sort of in the etiquette column aggregator that I subscribe to, but I've never actually read Women's Time before, and I didn't know if I'm technically allowed to. Can I read it if I'd like to?
I'm going to ask you a question that might be perceived as rude, but
sure.
It's not.
Sure.
And I'm the expert. Do you have a vagina?
I do not.
Do you consider yourself a female?
No, I'm a male, I suppose, 100%.
It's not for you.
It's not for me at all.
No.
So I shouldn't even be reading it. I shouldn't be looking at it.
You can look at it on the internet, but not the hard copy.
Not the hard copy.
That would be inappropriate.
This is something I was wondering. Now, is it? Do you have a separate building for Women's Time, or is it in the same Time Magazine building? Do you have an office above a garage, or how did they separate the two magazines?
Women's Time Magazine is run through a building across the street from
Time
Magazine.
Okay.
It's lower, and we can see up into Time Magazine's headquarters.
I see.
Yes.
I see. So they are close, but it is a smaller building.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, what would happen if, this is just a hypothetical, what would happen if Richard Bunn, say, strolls up to the offices of Women's Time, and I come rolling up with all my macho swagger, and I've got my leather jacket on, and a fresh set of blue jeans, and I've got my cowboy boots, you know, and some spurs on, and it's just all machismo. And I come right up to the secretary there, and I say, "Hey, sweetheart, go get your boss. Dick Bunn is here." Now, how's that going to go over at the offices?
I'll have you know it won't go over very well at all.
Right.
You'll be escorted out or told to quiet down.
I see. Yes. But I would be allowed in the lobby at least? You allow men to come in the building?
Men can come in for deliveries, for pitches, for stories.
I see.
And to give gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three ways.
Those are the three
men
ways.
Can enter.
Those are the three ways. I see.
Do you often go by Dick Bunn? Have I been calling you Richard inappropriately?
Occasionally Dick Bunn, and I thought it would work better for this sort of hypothetical I was giving where I was a real a macho tough guy.
Yes.
And I thought it would work better there. But Richard is perfect.
Okay, Richard.
Great. Let's get into etiquette writing or manners column writing. Now, this is something... You know, we often have fiction writers here, people who write screenplays or for television or novellas or full novels, that sort of thing. But I've always said writing is writing. is writing. And I say, in three of them in a row, I say, writing is writing. Whether you're writing a screenplay or you're writing a manners column, it's all right. Here's the thing, and it's maybe a controversial stance that I take, but if you're writing a manners column or screenplay, you're going to need to have some words. It's going to have to be words strung together, and you have to come up with them, and you've got to get them on the dang page. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely correct. You know, I have experience in writing many different types of things.
That's right.
But for me...
You write fiction as well, is that right?
I have written fiction in the past, yes.
Wonderful.
But once
Wonderful.
I got this job and this position at Women's Time, which I simply couldn't pass up, mm-hmm. I just applied those skills to this field. And
yes.
It's very, very similar. You know, I still use a word processor.
I use a word processor as well.
Wonderful.
Who needs a computer when you've got a word processor?
You just need to process the words. I put my fingers to the keys and I'm off to the races.
Exactly. So... at the core of it, what is writing really? You're communicating,
mm-hmm.
aren't you? You're trying to get your ideas across using words, and you have to pick the words. And different words have different meanings and different connotations. I wonder, now, when you're writing a column, often people are asking for advice, and they're asking for your help and your opinion. And maybe they come up with sort of embarrassing questions. They're being very vulnerable, aren't they?
And they are.
Have to be very sensitive to that. You don't want to come right out and say, you're dumb. That's a dumb question. You can't say that. You probably have to really finesse the words, don't you?
You do, because part of what my job is telling people how to live appropriately.
Yes.
Now, I simply couldn't respond in a rude way when I'm giving someone advice about how to be polite.
Right,
you understand?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to come out right and say, hey, shithead, you know, don't do that.
Honestly,
right?
I don't feel comfortable with you even saying that hypothetical.
My apologies.
Yeah.
I got ahead of myself right there.
That's okay.
But you don't want to insult your readers. You want to gently give them advice. Is that sort of the goal?
You want to help and elevate every reader and writer who contacts you. And, mm-hmm. you know, those who don't contact you are still gaining insight from the column.
Yes. As I know I have, just mm-hmm. from reading the column. Now, in advance of your coming here, I reached out to my listeners and I asked for them to send in some questions, some etiquette questions, mm-hmm. some manners questions that we could ask you here on the air. So I've got some questions right now. Could we get to those right now?
It'd be my pleasure.
Oh, very good. This is very exciting. This is a first on the Mr. Right program, right with a W play on words. So let's get to the first one here. At the office party the other night, one of the executives urinated on my computer keyboard. I saw his penis. It was medium. I need to ask for a new keyboard, but I'm not sure how to do it without embarrassing the important executive. Help, I've taken 2 sick days because I can't face going to work on that keyboard, more like P-board. Ha ha, in times like these, you have to laugh. Signed, Pissed Off in Scottsdale. Wow.
Wow.
That is a difficult one, I suppose.
It's quite a pickle. I will say this is a first for me.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't received any questions involving urine plus keyboards.
Right.
Yes.
That's a rare... I've never even heard of it.
I've never heard of it either, and I think that man is a bit of an innovator. But I do think it was inappropriate in the workplace.
Absolutely.
Now, what should Pissed Off do?
Yes.
Well, let's see. I believe it would be most appropriate to approach your boss or the HR department at your work and to tell them that you witnessed something uncomfortable. I would say to be as vague as possible until you must be specific.
Yes.
Simply to respect the privacy of the man at hand. And I believe that if the HR department listens to you, you'll eventually be able to say it was so-and-so with the penis and the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
They should be willing to reimburse you for whatever you pay to get the keyboard fixed or renewed.
Right, if it was her keyboard.
Or if it was the office's keyboard, they should replenish it with a new.
Right. So I like that phrase you used in there, which was... be as vague as possible. Is that what you said?
Yes, I think be as vague as possible until you must be specific.
Until you must be specific. That's great. Well, hopefully that answers your question, Pissed Off in Scottsdale. Let's go to the next one here. We've got 3 of them. Here's the second one. Okay. Whenever my husband and I are dining out for sushi with friends and the check comes, the waiter asks if we'd like to split the bill. My husband invariably then will make an exaggerated karate chop motion and yell "Hi-ya!" to indicate that we would like to split the bill. As we exit the restaurant, he will then do a little bow and make a gong sound with his mouth. My husband and I are both whites, not Chineses. Is this rude or just very funny? Signed, Trump fan in Florida.
Wow.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Not where I thought it was going to go.
No.
At all. Typically, it's my understanding that sushi is a Japanese cuisine, not
yes,
Chinese.
I noted that as well. But down in Florida, maybe they're not as aware of that.
I would say
distinction.
Right off the bat, I found the letter to be racist and rude.
Uh-huh.
But my main concern was with the way he explained he wanted to split it.
Yes.
For me, no matter if I'm a Chinese, a Japanese, a white, whatever.
Whatever you are.
I don't know that when I ask, would you like to split it, that a karate chop motion and a hi-ya will get across the point that you do indeed want to split it.
Right. It's not even that clear because it invites a follow-up question.
Yes. It's, are you taking karate lessons? Are you showing me a motion? Are you saying, no way, I don't want to split it?
Right.
It could go really any way. So for me, I would start there and have him use his words to communicate what he believes he wants to do with the check. Also, my next problem is that he wants to split it. I believe a man should always pay for everyone's dinner.
Ah, I see.
Any man should pay for everyone's dinner.
What now? And what if there are more than? What if there's more than one man? If it's two couples there?
Now, this is like do you know driving techniques of when four people pull up to a four-way stop sign at the same time?
Yes.
And the person to the right must go first?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
It's whomever the waiter speaks to or makes eye contact with first, male, must be the one to pay.
I see.
So whatever racist things you want to yell in or on your way out of the restaurant, it doesn't really matter to me, personally, as far as etiquette is concerned. What really matters to me is who's paying. And I believe it should be the man. And he shouldn't want to split it.
Shouldn't want to split it. The man who was first made eye contact with by the waiter.
Mm-hmm.
So, cheapskates, avert your gaze, I suppose, as the waiter comes up, if there's a couple of men at the table. That's great advice. But I agree there that a karate chop right there, we don't know exactly what he's talking about.
No, in this case, you need to be specific until you have to be vague.
I see. Okay. In this case, the exact opposite of the previous advice. Is that right?
Yes, and that's why etiquette is a tricky territory.
Yes. There's a lot of nooks and crannies, I imagine, and a lot of different cases. Case-by-case basis, I suppose.
Absolutely.
We've got one more question here. For over a year, I've been having sex with the cable guy. I schedule my service calls for when he's working, but one day I really did need my cable fixed when he wasn't working. They sent over another cable man, and I had sex with him. Is it okay to keep having sex with both cable guys? And do I need to subscribe to premium channels? P.S. How do I tell the cable guys that I really just want to watch the two of them have sex while Mythbusters plays on the Discovery Channel in the background? Signed, Crossed Wires in Memphis. Wow.
Wow.
That's a very complex situation.
It is. Now, my first question...
A few different questions in there.
There are a number of issues happening. Now, I wonder if our writer is married herself. I assume it's a woman. Now, I'm not sure, actually.
We're not sure, and the writer did not indicate.
Okay, so he or she, married or un, is interested in this cable man and has been having an affair with, or not an affair, a relationship with him.
Yes.
Now I believe she or he is cheating with the other cable man because what is established with the first cable man is a monogamous scenario.
You're right, exactly.
Now, my etiquette feelers are buzzing because I do not think it's appropriate to cheat on someone you're in a relationship with.
Even an on-again, off-again cable man.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And now, I think it's what's most appropriate if your true desire, dear writer, is to have the two men have sexual intercourse in front of you while you watch a specific program on television, yes, I believe it's absolutely essential that you call the company they both work for, request mm-hmm. them both to come to an appointment at the same time. Don't tell them that they're both coming at the same time. Mm-hmm. Then when they both walk in, act like it's a mistake, pull off both of their pants and shove them together.
Really? Have them both come over in sort of a surprise rendezvous at her or his house?
Yes.
As if it's a service call?
Yes. It just so happens that Time Warner or whatever company mm-hmm. accidentally booked two gentlemen to come fix this issue.
Too many cable guys.
Too many. And what a lucky problem to have. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't we all be so lucky? So many cracks to be seen. And I simply wouldn't be interested myself, actually. But, you know, we see these men come in. They see each other. They kind of have a moment where they recognize, oh, maybe I wasn't supposed to be here. Oh, no, I'm not supposed to be here.
Isn't that Dan?
Yeah.
Wait
a minute. I thought that was Richard.
Bruce?
Okay, sure, Bruce. But, you know, so they walk in together.
And they're wearing the same outfit,
of course,
uniform,
which is sexually attractive to our writer. Mm-hmm. And this person will be inside, I would say, propped on the couch, maybe like the Queen of Sheba. Mythbusters on demand, so you know it'll be on, or
cue
DDR.
It up ahead of time.
Yes, absolutely.
Because, right.
You don't know if it's going to come on at 2:30 in the afternoon.
And you never know when the damn cable guys are going to show up.
And that's the truth. The window's too big.
Right.
So, you know, if you get one early, you got to keep them around until the window's over and you make sure both of them arrive. Long story short, if you don't see them fucking by the end of Tuesday, I'll be angry.
Yes, that's right. As well you should be.
Yes.
As well you should be. Well, that was wonderful advice.
Thank you.
For some very tricky scenarios that I'm sure may not have come your way in the past.
I have gotten one exactly like that before.
Really? Just like that?
Yes.
I wonder if it's the same person or if...
You know what happens from time to time, because not everybody is up to date on their magazine subscriptions. People will write to me and I won't receive it for 6 months, and then they will never know that I responded. So I believe this person may have written before, because I've said this exact response
exact
before.
Exact same advice.
Yes,
well,
yes.
Hopefully the point is getting out there. The point from Mark Carmella Point is getting out there, pun intended. Wonderful, wonderful stuff.
Wow. I hope I helped somebody.
I think you did. I think you did. All right. So it's now time in the program for the write-in, the segment where one of our listeners has written in a tiny story that I'm now going to read, and then Carmella and I will discuss. And I'm very excited for this one. This is a story that comes from a writer by the name of Wes Haney. And he has written a story called Man of the House, and I'll be very interested to get your take on it.
Because, I can't wait.
You'll have a very unique take, I'm sure. So here it is from Wes Haney, Man of the House. I never claimed to be a sticker expert, but when you're a new stepdad, sometimes you gotta fudge the numbers. That's a nice one, I screamed at Myron through clenched teeth. I'd been truly uncastable since the accident, and most days I couldn't contain the rage, especially around the 4-year-old. But it wasn't just him. Sienna and I had been at each other's throats ever since she discovered I'd swapped out the kid's Crest with weed toothpaste. She just didn't seem to understand. This was going to be a 420 friendly family one way or another, and as the new head of household, it was my job to make it happen. Wow.
Wow.
Man of the house.
So much going on in there.
That was really something.
Wow.
A lot packed into a tiny package there, wouldn't you say?
So much. Truly, now, I'm able to create an entire world for this man. I'm so curious about the accident he was in, or what kind of work he was being cast in before the accident.
Absolutely. Some sort of an actor, we assume, or maybe print, maybe acting, we don't know. Now, I'm interested in your take as a columnist for Women's Time. This sounds like a man really trying to assert himself and sort of make the rules, if I dare say, above what Sienna seemed to want. He's decided this is going to be a 420 friendly family, and he's got the kids on weed toothpaste.
Yeah.
Now,
as an etiquette columnist,
yes,
I have to say, I believe it's highly inappropriate to change the toothpaste for your children against your wife's wishes, whether it has weed or no weed.
Opiates or whatever it's got.
Whatever you're putting in there. I just believe your wife dictates what kind of toothpaste the children will use. That's a rule hard and fast for
so
me.
So it's not even... There needs to be a conversation. It's her word goes. Is that right?
The woman chooses the toothpaste.
Yes. What other things? What about the soap in the shower?
Women choose body wash. Men choose bar.
And shampoo and conditioner?
Women choose both, but different one for the man and different for the woman.
The woman chooses, but she chooses one for herself and one for the man.
Yes.
And for the children?
The children are to use the runoff from both of them while they're in the same shower.
So the child should be showering with the parent, one of the parents, of the same sex?
That's not essential. In case
either
there's
one.
A gay relationship and it's impossible to have... that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I will, what it is the children are bathing
in the
water that's filling in from the shower,
and
the runoff.
They're taking a bath lying on the bathtub floor. Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh. The parents stand above in the shower.
Yes.
They wash and scrub their head and hair with shampoo, and the runoff falls directly onto the heads of the children, who then massage it into their scalps and rinse using the already soiled water beneath them.
Mm-hmm. So it's sort of a two-for-one. I guess you could call that very eco-friendly. You're not wasting more, you know, putting more pollutants into the water system when you're getting two scrubs for one.
Yeah, whatever you need to like that idea, sure.
Mm-hmm. I think it's great. And that, now, what about other stuff? We talk about toothpaste. What about glass cleaner or bathroom tile cleaners? Who chooses?
Women choose glass cleaner, but it must be generic. Men choose tile cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be name brand.
I see.
With bleach.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And then when we're talking in food and diet,
yes,
women make the dinner. Mm-hmm. Men buy the ingredients.
All of the ingredients.
And all of the vegetables must be organic.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the packaged meats must be prepackaged in kind of a sealed plastic.
Plastic
and
styrofoam.
And a Tupperware, yes. The styrofoam. Not fresh meat.
Not fresh. Not in that brown paper.
No, none of that.
I see. What about corn chips? Who decides what brand?
The children decide the brand
children
of corn
decide.
Chips.
Okay.
But the mother pays with her own money.
Her own money. And if she gets an allowance from her husband, that comes out of her allowance.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
I see. This is all wonderful information for all of the listeners. Now, this is something very interesting. We touched on earlier. You write your column, but you've also written fiction over the years, and all sorts of different types of writing. But you got your start years and years and years ago. You got your start writing erotic fiction. Isn't that right?
That's very true.
And you were writing under a pseudonym, which was, I believe, Joan Updike. Very clever. I like that.
Thank you.
And I asked you about this and asked if you would bring in a passage from one of your stories, and I think you've done that.
Yes.
And we'd love to hear it right now.
Politely, he set his hand atop her thigh, and through her cupped, antiseptic-wiped hands, her breath danced out imposingly, an erotic librarian's whisper. Mm. How had she found herself here in her office, which in the midday sun really was a sight to be admired, all things in their places, organized by height and name? Manuel wrapping his arms around her, clutching at her, grasping at her bosom. Oh my, well, she began, thinking to stop him but realizing it would be rude. She had, after all, drawn a heart next to his name on the RSVP for her father's upcoming marriage.
Yes.
Why had she done it? Why had she drawn the heart if not to make all this happen? His fingers reached knowingly to the teeth of her bra. Outside her window, there were children playing, running and screaming half obscenities. which normally she would be bothered by, a few of them even daring to run on the manicured lawn, which wasn't technically a rule they were breaking, but the obstruction of grass line and cement line just seemed, well, there's a reason they're separate. Had there been a reason she and Manuel had been separate? Was this a violation tantamount to the violation of children and lawns? His hand slid down to lift the skirt of her business suit. She looked into his eyes, deep brown mosaics of lust and temptation. She pursed her lips. Her eyes fluttered for just a moment. She began. Before we go any further, could you please remove your shoes?
Wow. Bravo. Bravo.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. And if I dare say so, I think we saw the roots of your etiquette writing right there in that erotic story.
It did become evident in my erotica career that I suffered from OCD and also had an obsession with rules and etiquette.
I see.
So, yes, that became very clear in my writing, and that's why I eventually pursued it.
Well, and that's another one where the readers of that erotica are getting a twofer as well. They know their children shouldn't be running on the lawn. That's why there's sidewalks, for example.
Exactly.
And please take off your shoes before we get down to business.
I don't want dirt in the bed.
Who wears shoes in the bed? I don't know.
Well, this character walked in very, assumingly. And
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There was a phrase in there that I suppose I hadn't heard before, the teeth of the bra. The teeth of the brassiere. Now, what does that refer to?
Now, that's the clasp.
Oh, the clasp. Mm-hmm. I see. Ah, some sort of
interlocking teeth, kind of teeth into gums, as it were.
Yes, yes. What I would love to do now, since we've got a taste of your fiction right there, as my listeners know, and as I'm sure you know, you've probably read many of my novels, too many novels to discuss, obviously, but I wrote all of them using the bun process, also known as the bun technique for writers and writing.
Great.
So I'd love to do that right now. And so what we do first, shut off all of your electronic gadgets and your gizmos, your phone, your Palm Pilot, and your beeper and your buzzer. So we shut off all our distractions, okay? Mm-hmm. And just take a deep breath. Great. Now close the eyes. Mm-hmm. Close your eyes. Don't fall asleep.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Now take one more tiny deep breath. Great. And now just using your mind's eye, go into your fantasy imagination scape and just describe what you see in there. What do you see in there?
I see it's a Disney store.
A Disney store. Someone's at the Disney store.
There's a man behind the counter. He works there. He's a man is a little bit the wrong word. He's a teen.
He's a teen.
I would say
young man.
He's 16. He's pimply and wearing a polo shirt with the Disney label and a name tag.
Is a name
that
tag
says
on it?
Pedro.
Pedro. So that's his name, Pedro.
Yes. He's wearing khaki pants. A woman is walking in. She's distraught. She has a bag from the Disney store that's been crumpled as if she's had it for a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
She is trying to return something. She's very angry with Pedro.
I see.
She's yelling at him.
Has she brought her receipt?
She doesn't have it, but she thinks he can look it up using her credit card.
Ah,
so she's kind of shoving her credit card in his hand and shoving it. And
question. Is there a calendar on the wall? Is there a calendar up on the wall there?
I don't see a calendar. There's a...
What about the other walls?
No, it's a store, so there's shelves behind him with product, and then on every wall there's product.
I see. But he's working at a computer, is he?
It's a computer of sorts. It's a monitor.
Yeah. And it shows time and date on the monitor, does it?
Probably. I can't see it. I'm on the other side.
Can't see it. Okay.
I'm facing Pedro.
Oh, boy. All right.
I can go behind the desk if you want.
Well, it couldn't hurt.
Okay. There's the date and time, yes.
And that's...
It's January 4th, 1998.
1998, so that's what year it is.
And
great.
The time is 4:35.
I don't really care. So Pedro and the customer
yes,
in 1998.
Now, she's angry because she's done this before. She said she's been there before, and they've accepted looking it up with the credit card and no receipt.
Mm-hmm.
So he's swiping her card, but nothing's coming up, and she insists she purchased it at this location. It's a doll. It's a Mickey doll, a stuffed doll.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey Mouse, the popular creature from the Disney
Mouse.
corporation, and so she says, you know what, if you won't give me back the money, you can just have this and throw it in the trash. I don't want it.
Oh, my.
The reason I'm even returning it is because it had a piece that was too small for my baby, and my baby could have choked. So he's upset. He's saying, I'm sorry, ma'am, I'm sorry. Why don't I give you a gift card of that amount? And she says, that's not really going to do it because I don't want anything else from this store. I don't really respect this store.
Mm-hmm.
So she starts marching around, and she's marching in a circle. And this is actually a symptom of a disease she has she forgets where she is, and she simply can only move in inward gravitational pull toward the center of a room. So she's doing a circular march unrelated to the return.
Well... Cheers to that as well.
Yes.
You're off and running right there. That's a good three
Should
or
I
four...
open my eyes?
Oh, please, yes, go ahead. That, just a taste of the bun prizes right there, but you got three or four pages of, I don't know what you would title that one, Mickey Mouse in the Garbage Can, or Circular Marching Woman, or... help this woman at the Mickey store with the disease, or
I would
titles
call
you can
it
work on.
A tough return.
Oh, yes. A tough return. Sort of different meanings, different layers of meaning on there. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
And I thought it was great when we finally found out what year it was. That was marvelous. Let's just sort of locate ourselves in space and time. And you got around to that. I was fascinated about it. By that entire thing, and I would love to hear more from Pedro and from the unnamed customer. But that's for you to decide whether or not you want to.
Am I supposed to write it?
No. If you choose to, you don't have to. But
okay.
One final question for you: is there any question that's come up most frequently over the years for you in your advice column, most frequently or most urgently, what question stands out the most to you through all your years of your career?
One that has come up time and time again is the following. Women will write to me and say, I'm really uncomfortable. I don't know what to do next. I'm trying to throw a baby shower for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But the cable man keeps ringing the doorbell and saying he's in a relationship with her. What do I do? Urgent, need help now. I'm in the process of having the baby shower now. I've received that upwards of 20 times.
Time and time again. Is there just an epidemic of this, or do you think it's really the same person?
I think it's the same person stuck in a time warp.
in a time warp in their own head, or
I can't say for sure whether it's happening in real life or if they're only experiencing it in their mind.
Right. Well, neither of us are an expert on astrophysics.
No.
No. And that's not. You had a very big reaction to that.
People try to say I am, and I'm not. I don't know how many times to tell you.
You're not an astrophysicist.
No.
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 And if she's shaking her head vigorously, no, as she says
no.
No, in a very big sort of display.
Mm-hmm.
So not an astrophysicist.
No.
No, no. So you're not going to give your opinion on such matters, obviously.
No, I just believe that's what it is. And so I haven't really responded to it that much because it got annoying after a while.
Sure. Well, I hope Crossed Wires in Memphis, who wrote in today, finally gets your message and finally takes your advice and gets that sort of cable guy gangbang figured out once and for all, right?
Absolutely. I wish him or her nothing but the best.
We don't know. Yeah. Nothing but the best. I agree. And Carmela, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here.
Thank you for having me.
Nothing but the best to you as well in all of your future endeavors. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I have a gift for you here.
Oh.
It's a set of thank you cards.
Oh, you shouldn't
and
have.
And I expect one in the mail soon.
Oh. Point taken. And that was a pun, of course. Carmela Point is her name. Thank you for being here, Carmela. Bye.
Episodes of Mr. Right were recorded at Earwolf Studios and engineered by Ryan Connor and Sam Kiefer, and recorded at Werewolf Heart Studios and engineered by Alex Burke. Mr. Right is produced by Mark McConville and created by Paul Britton. The theme song, Hot Decaf and a Fancy Scone, was written and performed by Alex Burke, Brandon Dickert, and Gordon Bash, and engineered and produced by Neil Baldock. Mr. Right is a Howl original and a production of Mid-Roll Media.